you say Vancouver was very cosmopolitan in 1968. How would you describe that? What were examples of its cosmopolitan nature?
First of all, it's a very multi-ethnic. So there's a huge Chinese and Japanese community, Russian, Dukobor, a Ukrainian community. So it had a lot of ties to Europe and across Canada. It just seemed more tied into the world than Seattle had been. And Syracuse was, you know, is like a university town. It's a city that's kind of fairly insular, although it did get visiting artists and writers and things from New York occasionally. I remember Bob Dylan came up there and played in a coffee house, and there were like 25 people came in the early days. And Andy Warhol was supposed to give a talk there, but he sent a duplicate. and in the end, they wouldn't pay him. They wouldn't pay him the fee.
They should pay him counterfeit money.
but, you know, there were like Syracuse is a big university, and there were all kinds of really good people there. There was a creative writing department that had some stellar teachers and quite a few very good students. And a friend of mine, Henry, and I started a literary magazine in Syracuse. I think it was because we couldn't get into the official literary magazine, or we didn't. So we decided, take things on ourselves. And we did that for a couple of years. And I was editor of the humor magazine, which is sort of, you know, parody and sarcasm and things like that. And, well, I left after my coursework for my master's thesis and went to Seattle. And then I came back. I wrote my master's thesis in Seattle, and I had to come back and defend it. And then I came to Canada, basically. So I was well educated when I came to Canada. But I never taught, aside from at the Free University. I never really wanted to teach. I realized the master's and PhD were really teaching degrees in a very real sense. I had a research assistantship, of all things, in the geology department at Syracuse, because they loved me in the geology department. I was a very good student, and I could draw, and I could write well. So I could do maps and things. They loved me. They wanted to convert me into a geologist, but but I didn't convert. But I got my tuition paid for, and I got cash as a research assistant. It was, you know, for me, it was a cushy situation.
Yeah. Been less than cushy since then, huh?
Well, yeah. When I came to Vancouver, the funny thing is, I've never had a job, you know, really. Since I came to Vancouver, I never really had a job. I was always self-employed one way or another.
Since then?
Yeah.
Your whole life?
Yeah.
That's the definition of success, according to you.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Where is it in, it's one of these poems, I forget where it was. But you say that exact, almost word for word. I think it was in the Paper Boat, as a matter of fact. Here it is. It's in the Sam Hamill poem, which you read yesterday, which I have on video. You say success is continuing to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's the Lord's truth, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it really is.
Oh, yeah.
Jeremy Rifkin said that in 50 years, people are going to look back at the concept of working at a job that you hate, and they're going to think it's barbaric.
I know. It's going to be like slavery. It's going to be as barbaric as slavery.
What do you think it is about you, aside from an aversion to work, which I share?
Well, no, I don't think I had an aversion to work because I grew up on a farm.
Well, aversion.
I had to work too hard.
Right. But aversion to the kind of work that people refer to when they talk about work in this culture. And I mean North American culture.
Well, for one thing, I had experienced poverty and realized it was no big deal, to tell the truth.
Tell me, give me an example of what you mean by experiencing poverty.
Well, like when I first came to Vancouver, I rented the downstairs of a house for $40 a month. And I used to make my money doing gardening and leather work, like sandals and stuff like that. I didn't have a store. I just did them out of my house. And, you know, it was very casual. Even in university, I was extremely poor. I had to work for my room. And I worked in the summers to make money to, you know, for food. I had a scholarship to pay, luckily, I had a scholarship to pay tuition, but at the state universities, tuition was peanuts in those days. At Syracuse, it's amazing how little it was by today's standards. But I had a New York Regent scholarship, which paid tuition. And if you went to a state university, that's what it paid, like $200. If you went to Syracuse, it paid $750 or whatever it was, the tuition.
So you weren't frightened by this cultural stigma of being a poor person?
No, I wasn't at all. Yeah. As I realized, it had nothing to do with being happy or feeling good about yourself.
And now you're living in a beachfront house with an incredible view. And, you know, you talk about success, you know, by any standard, someone's got to look at this and say, this guy's successful. I mean, you know, the people who are inundated or indoctrinated into the industry-generated culture, they would say, yeah, I'd go for this.
Yeah, that's right.